And welcome to the Deuce Podcast. I'm Brad.
And I'm Jeremy.
And today we are doing episode 19, which is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze.
Secret of the Ooze.
And today we have a special guest. My pal Tony B is with us. Say hi, Tony.
Hi, Bradley D. Good to be here. And Jeremy, too. Yes, I'm so excited to be here. This is exciting for me.
Oh, okay.
Oh yeah. We were looking forward to having you here for this one. We actually were like, when Bradley was trying to figure out the schedule, I said, no, just bump it up. That's fine. We'll do this one first. So,
aw, that's awesome.
Yeah, we're excited to have the opportunity to talk with you here.
And Tony and I go way back, drama, college, whatever you name it, pranks galore. We do it, right?
I think we originally met at Bum World
We did meet at Bum World. Yes.
Yeah.
Where we were selling cardboards to bums.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. You were a higher management than I at Bum World.
Well, yes, but that didn't stop us from becoming fast friends.
No.
And continuing on our adventures together.
And abusing your power at Bum World.
Yes. You make it sound so tawdry.
No.
It was a fantastic time of my life.
Yeah. Well, there are a million podcasts.
Yeah, but you know, we actually thought this would be a perfect opportunity for Tony, if you wanted to plug any projects or anything near and dear to your heart.
Well. Actually, right now, I just got recast as Scooja in Klingon Christmas Carol coming up in December, playing, we are at the Ravens, or at the, I'm sorry, excuse me, at the Raven Theater in Ravenswood here in Chicago. So hopefully anybody's in during that time in December, you could come out and see me.
And that's fully in Klingon, you talking Klingon.
Yep, completely 100% in Klingon. The only English is spoken by the narrator who is not a Klingon, so that's the only character.
Say something in Klingon for us.
Okay. Oh shit, you put me on the spot. Hold on.
Taj Yorok by the Oi Mohpa.
Which I'm is very impressed.
What did you say?
Before you hit someone.
that's amazing.
So just so everybody knows too, like if I don't speak fluent Klingon, if I'm only like a first year Klingon student, will I be able to understand the show?
Yes, we have subtitles, which there's a screen above the stage that will translate and have subtitles in English.
Nice, very cool.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Incidentally, my dad, when I was a kid, bought us a Klingon dictionary.
Like Klingon Rosetta Stone?
No, it was something simpler than that. But he bought us a less pyramid schemey. He bought me the Klingon dictionary because he wanted us to be able to converse in Klingon. And I think I learned a bunch of phrases, and he just never committed to it, so I gave it up.
That sounds about right with your dad.
It's beautiful. I love it.
Yeah.
Togetherness.
All right. I think it's time to drop the deuce on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 Secret of the Ooze, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. And so this is, I think this is a lot of people, there's a big fan base for this. A lot of people.
It's on Hulu. You can watch it on Hulu.
Oh, yeah. You can watch it on Hulu.
But don't take our word for it.
Yeah, this is, I mean, it's got a huge...
it's got a huge
following.
Yeah.
just because of the nostalgia aspect, it's near and dear to a lot of people's hearts. I actually saw, I think, the original Ninja Turtles movie, like, 8 times in theaters.
Eight times?
Well, I wanted to see it, and I wanted to see it again, but then it was
twice. You don't need to see 8 times.
Well, but then each of my aunts and uncles, like...
Oh, okay.
...consecutively took me and, like, my grandparents, and... Yeah, so I knew that were... I used to have that movie memorized when I was a kid. I mean, I loved it so much. But don't take my word for it.
How about you, Tony? Like, you love the first one and this one as well?
Oh my God. So I don't know if I've told you guys this or not, but I mean, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are my bread and butter. Like, you have an actual person who I know everything. Like, I know everything about turtles. They're my life. And so I'm with you. I think I know I've got you beat, Jeremy, on seeing the movie, because I literally probably went 2 times a week the entire time it was in theaters. Like, I saw the first one so many times. The second one probably about as half as many times. And the third one, but I've seen this movie probably 1,000 times and the first one 100,000 times. So I could completely quote the entire movie.
Nice.
So.
Yes. Now, actually, Jeremy and I saw a screening in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Our friend was doing a special screening, and tell him about it.
Yeah. So it was after the, God, what was that? Was that the
Kansas City Comic Con?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they had the comic convention in Kansas City that we had gone to, and our friend, who's a comic book author, C.W. Cook, go and check out his titles if you're listening. He was actually approached about doing a panel during the day with a bunch of other comic book writers who. I mean, it was a great bunch. I think was Fabian Sia there. I'm trying to remember who else was there, but Kevin Eastman was on the panel. And
shit.
Yeah. And later they approached him and said, "Hey, Kevin Eastman is doing a like the live commentary on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles at the Alamo in Kansas City."
Just drop the I was going to say a movie place. That rhymes with Schmalamo.
they'll never okay. figure it out. But they did it there, and they said, "Well, do you want to come and do commentary with him?" And it was like CW went nuts for this. He was so honored.
So you got to do commentary with him.
Yeah. So we got to sit and hear Kevin Eastman talk about his account of like Ninja Turtles and it getting made and like the comics getting made.
And I don't really know these comic or in the cartoon. I didn't really watch it. That was my first experience watching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2. Kevin Eastman's commentary.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was your first introduction to him.
Yep.
That's amazing.
That's a way to go.
And wait, how long ago was that?
That was a couple months ago. Yeah.
It was like in February or something.
Yeah.
Oh my God, just that recent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you Brett, you hadn't seen the first movie?
No, not at all.
Before that?
No.
I can't believe you. That's ridiculous.
These are things normally I should have asked before we got married, but
I forgot. Yeah. That's a total game changer
sorry. It kind of is.
And I told him we have to watch it again, too, because it's like watching a movie for the first time with, like, the director's commentary on.
Right.
It's cool and all, but you also need to hear what's going on.
And I kind of did. I mean, you know, but whatever.
Well, it's not like the plot point is that deep with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles anyway.
What the hell are you talking about? Yeah, it was. It was like it was Gone with the Wind.
Well, yeah, the two great movies, Gone with the Wind and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
They are unofficial sequels.
AFI's 100 Greatest Movies, Gone with the Wind and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, The Ooze.
Secret of the Ooze.
I'm sorry. Speaking of the movie, it's time to drop it. We're dropping the deuce, okay?
Drop the deuce.
All right. We start off with a screen that says, In Memory of Jim Henson.
Yes.
And then,
yes.
And then it's a shot.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but I wanted to know if that was on your copy as well, because I actually streamed it through a streaming service, and I wasn't sure if it was on all the copies or every version or not.
But oh, yeah, it was on ours. Was it on yours?
Yeah, it was.
Well, we also streamed it. We streamed ours through Hulu. And so,
Shmoolu.
Yeah, Shmoolu. Why are you abbreviating?
I don't know. I'm getting concerned about that LeVar Burton thing, but don't take my word for it. Yeah, we streamed it through we streamed it through Hulu. But like the first 30 minutes, it says, or 30 minutes, 30 seconds says, in memory of Jim Henson, and then it's a shot of the Twin Towers. Yeah. So we're 0-2 in this movie. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's it gets awkward quick. So it's on the 1991 New York skyline. So and then we go into this very, it's almost like strange montage of people eating pizza. And it's like business people crossing the street, people driving,
yeah,
couples, old, young, everybody from every walk of life are eating these giant New York slices of pizza. And so
I loved the people who are on a date and they like kiss and then they turn around and they both have giant slices of pizza they shove into their faces. Like, what is that? Are you kidding me?
I'm not going to lie. That's how our first date went too.
Yeah,
so.
It's true. It was true.
So, and it
might have anchovies on it.
It goes on for like a pretty ridiculous amount of time. Like, I get it. Pizza.
I would like to interject right here. Like, why was everybody eating pizza?
I don't know.
Like, why is that thing? Because nobody knows the turtles exist. Nobody knows that's the turtles' favorite food. So all of a sudden, New York just goes into a pizza craze all of a sudden. Like, they didn't notice. They had no idea pizza existed before 1991. I didn't understand that. I didn't understand that at all.
Well, it's okay. So this movie, to me, so the first one is more like your it was based off the comic, and this one was the one that was, like, I think by this point the cartoon had picked up, and they were ooh, we're going to make it more like the cartoon instead.
Yeah, this
and
one's
so
very
pizza
cartoon-ish.
Is such a huge, like,
it
was one thing in, like, beforehand. Now it's like in the cartoon where they're like, ice cream and tuna fish. Like, they always have weird things that they eat on them.
Yeah, but everyone
except
was
for
scoffing
anchovies.
That pizza down.
And so, I feel like they were like, yeah, Ninja Turtles, they love pizza. Put lots of pizza in it. And just started, just cramming it in everybody's faces.
They did. They literally did.
Yeah.
Extras each grab your piece of pizza and we'll start rolling.
Yeah. See, they did craft services and the props at the same time. So they were able to cut a lot of out of the budget. So they're like, we'll let them eat at the same time we're filming.
Because they needed all that budget for later on in the laboratory.
Well, for the spoiler alert, who comes up later, they had a big paycheck to cut towards the end of the movie.
Yeah, they did. God. Oh, yeah. They did, didn't they? Yeah, yeah, they got coal.
Oh, they paid all right.
So we get the pizza delivery place, and we meet Kino, right?
Yeah. So they're serving up slices at Roy's Pizza. So, which apparently is the Pizza Hub of New York City.
Oh, it is.
And Roy
pizza was just invented, so they only have one pizza store.
Roy's cashing in on that.
Roy was
there's one pizza craze. Get those ovens going, kids.
Roy was the guy who cracked the code. Ray tells the delivery boy, Kino, who's played by Ernie Reyes Jr., who does a lot of martial arts stuff, that there's another order for April O'Neil. And, of course, he comments on how much pizza April O'Neil actually orders. So
really,
we know that
everyone orders a ton of pizza. They just invented it.
Right. But she really loves it. Apparently, like, three pizzas at a time every day. So Kino arrives.
Wait, I thought it was called Kung Fu Pizza Delivery Place, but it's not. It's right. It's called Roy's Pizza.
I think it's just called Roy's.
Oh, it's not Kung Fu Pizza Delivery. Okay.
No.
Why did you think it was Kung Fu Pizza?
What's that?
He's racist.
Why did you think it was Kung
Fu? Because of Kino.
I think it's actually called Kung Fu Pizza in the cartoon. I think there's actually a place that they go to that's called Kung Fu Pizza.
See, maybe that. See, I knew that.
Yeah.
Shut up.
When you had admitted just moments ago that you never watched the cartoon.
Okay. Man, this is the first minute of the movie.
Yes. So
thank God this movie's Kino, only an hour and 30 minutes.
I know, right?
It's going to be a 3-hour podcast. I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah.
So Kino, who only stops briefly to unsuccessfully hit on some women, arrives with the delivery. And when he gets there, he sees guys. He sees like a van and truck with stuff being loaded onto them. And so he goes to investigate.
So you live in New York. You should probably walk over there.
Yeah, sounds like
a good idea. Yeah, that's a great idea, is go down a dark alley when people are loading things in the middle of the night. Check it out.
You know, you never know. And so he sees these guys with stockings on their head robbing what I guess is like
we don't know.
Underground mall?
Underground mall?
An underground mall in the back of a building?
Yeah. Where did this come from?
Okay, do you remember like the show, Shop Till You Drop, the game show, where they had to exchange? I thought this was like the set of Shop Till You Drop, because
it looks like it, doesn't it?
No, right? They had like three stores, and there's like 70 robbers that show up for like five stores. And one of them's like a deli, right?
Well, yeah. So there's like a store that just says clothes, one that says toys. It's like electronics.
Sporting goods,
yeah.
And they're all generic things.
And then there's a deli at the end. Like, they are not very good criminals. And Kino actually manages to stop, like, the original five that he sees. And then 70 rush out from the back.
I mean, 70 robbers to rob, like a pretzel place.
It's probably more like 30, but and still it's ridiculous. Sporting goods.
Whatever.
But I have a couple questions. How many people did you really need to rob these, like, barely anything stores? How did they all get there?
Because
they couldn't have all been in the truck.
In that truck?
Or
that
in the van.
One truck?
Like, I feel like they carpooled and then all met around the corner.
I believe they all fit in the back of the vans because they're vans and there's nothing in them.
Yeah.
So they all got there at the same time, but I don't know how they're going to get back because the vans are going to be loaded with sporting goods and clothes. And salami. So I don't
and inflatable tilty clown things.
Yeah.
So, and of course Kino, I forgot to mention, like when he gets in there, he tells them they're under arrest.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't understand how that works yet. And so he says they're all under arrest, and of course they're like, well, I'll just kill you. That's
well they
cool.
just invented police too, along with pizza.
Citizens arrest.
Yeah, there you go. So at about that time, the turtles show up. So they just show up, and we get they jump into the air, and then we get like the title screen. So it's all been kind of the cold open, and of course they go through and start kicking the bad guys' asses. So and of course they're doing it with zany antics.
Yeah.
So. Like, Donatello replaces there's like a punching bag clown that he pokes a few times and goes, whoa! And breaks the fourth wall and then replaces it and rocks back and forth. And it's like poking the guy in the face with stuff. Like, the guy is befuddled about what's going on.
Now, I read about this movie is that they wanted it to keep it lighter than the first one, and they didn't want them to use their weapons as much. So during this scene, you see them not really use... This is the only scene they really kind of use their weapons in. A lot through the movie, they don't do it. And but then they kind of use it in a comical way. Do you know what I mean? So they did that to not be so frightening to children, which I read that. I thought that was weird.
Well, but...
I had that read that same thing or a lot about it because they wanted it to be more kid-friendly.
Kid-friendly.
And really get the kids involved. So... they went more towards the cartoon instead of the comic books in this movie. And I'm trying to think. I remember Donatello used his staff a couple of times.
Yeah.
But even when Michelangelo goes to use nunchucks, it's the salami.
He
pulls the salami down.
Yeah.
And they use more of their environment to fight the bad guys, than their actual ninjutsu with your weapons and skills.
Did Raphael even have size in this movie?
Yeah, he caught a pizza.
Okay, that's
oh,
right.
He caught a piece of pizza with it. And I think that's the only time we see him now that you mention it.
Yeah, but again, a very fun thing and not a very threatening thing.
Well, in with the original title, so in the UK, they couldn't say, they didn't have Ninja for the name of it. They were called Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles.
Yes.
Because the ninja was, thought it was promoting violence. And so, I don't know if you remember this too, Tony, if you remember with the cartoon, but there was like a period in time where all of a sudden Michelangelo no longer had nunchucks.
Yeah, he had a grappling hook.
Yeah, he had like a grappling hook thing.
Really?
And I think it was because kids were probably, out of all of those things, I think the kids probably hurt themselves with the nunchucks a lot more.
You don't think the two sword things? Kids would hurt themselves with swords?
Yeah, but I think they thought that nunchucks were easier, but like those things deliver like 90 pounds of pressure or more, true. Like when they hit you, so.
Not the salami kind, though.
They were easier to get, too. Like when I was a kid, I had several pairs of nunchucks because Michelangelo was my favorite, and you could just buy them at like the county fair, you know? They were like, they're like, oh yeah, sure, you could have some nunchucks, you little 8-year-old kid. Go nuts.
Yeah,
and
it's
I
not
hit
a knife. It's okay.
It was repeatedly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think they were trying to get away from that. So instead they were like, hey, here's a string with a little thing and hooks on the end of it. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I kind of got the feeling like when he was fighting with the yo-yo, I got a feeling that it was like aiming kind of like that where he didn't have the nunchucks anymore.
The nunchucks. He had a yo-yo. Exactly. Which I thought a yo-yo was used as a weapon.
It was originally.
Originally.
Yeah, historically.
Okay. Yeah.
But don't take my word for it. Anyway, so at this point, they tell Kino to call the police. And when he gets back, all the guys are piled up in one heap, except for one guy who's just like dangling by his belt from the ceiling. And
again, very comic-y.
Before he does that, though, they have like at least 2 minutes of a fight scene before Raphael grabs him and shoves him in a trash can and literally throws him away.
Yeah.
So he doesn't see the turtles. But it's like you let him stand there while you beat 10 guys down and then shove him into a trash can. I was like, I think he's seen you by now.
Yeah. It's for your own safety. As he as he folds him in there on his neck. So Kino, fresh from his back injuries, goes and calls the police. And when he comes back, they're gone. The turtles are gone, and all those guys are just in a heap.
The pizzas are gone too.
And the turtles, if you look, they leave him like $9 in cash for 3 pizzas.
And it was the 90s.
Yeah,
it's 91 prices. You know, it's $3 a pizza.
In 91?
Oh, yeah.
First off, they didn't tip him. But I guess, I don't know. Maybe is beating up thugs who are going after you, is that like a good tip to leave? I'll do that all day. But, so, yeah, they leave him with, like, $9 and then call it good. So then there's this woman who is completely unfamiliar looking to us who walks up to this upscale building and they start talking to her and point out it's April O'Neil.
Oh,
that's so
not April O'Neil.
Yeah. They replaced
the mother from the 100.
Yeah, it is the mother from the 100. So they replaced Judith Hoag or Hoag, Hoag, whatever.
Hobag? You said Hobag?
Hoag.
Oh, okay.
H-O-A-G. Oh. Yeah, Hoag. They replaced her with Paige Turco.
I would like to say that I wrote in my notes that unfortunately Judith Hoag did not reprise her role as April O'Neil, but even more unfortunately, Judith Hoag's hair did reprise her role.
When I was trying to figure it out, I'm like, what was the original lady's name again? And I started looking it up and I go, Judith, and Bradley goes, Judith Light? Was it Judith Light? No, it wasn't.
But again, Judith Light's hair was in this movie, too.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. Every Judith.
Our apologies to Judith Light. So,
don't you apologize to Judith Light.
So we meet April's snooty, passive-aggressive neighbors who are complaining about her always doing calisthenics and jumping around, or aerobics, and jumping around. So you know that they're, and of course they're just kind of nonchalantly doing it. But at that time we start to realize, oh, I think the turtles live
with New York does she live in? No neighbor cares about another neighbor.
What? Yeah, but they're doing it to get her to be quiet.
I guess so. Passive aggressive. Yeah, yeah. They're passive aggressive.
There's passive aggressive people everywhere.
Yeah.
Of course, April gets upstairs and she doesn't see anybody because they're out across the street. Breaking pizza delivery boys' necks. And April opens the fridge, and there's a rubber snake inside. Surprise. And
Michelangelo.
Oh, that Michelangelo.
Michelangelo.
What a party dude.
And she starts to walk around and realize.
I'm going to tell you, as a party animal that I was, I always put rubber snakes in. That's like the hit of the party.
It is. That's how we know you're a fun guy.
The classic.
So then she sees that, like, Leonardo, Donatello, Raphael, all of them have left the place a mess. And, of course, she comments that the rat is the cleanest one. I'm thinking there's this weird part. So they get back upstairs. The turtles come in, and they're all talking to April. They have pizza. And, of course, Michelangelo gets a piece. And he says something about ninja pizza.
Yes.
Well, yeah, I wrote that down, too. Ninja pizza.
Yeah, he goes, pizza, that vanished quick without trace.
And I'm going to tell you, I've eaten a lot of ninja pizza over the years.
Every pizza is a ninja pizza when it comes to me.
Also, the turtles don't eat the crust. There are tons of crusts left over.
Yeah, they never have. All the boxes I know of that.
Pizza. I don't get that.
I don't know.
You people gotta eat the crust.
Kids don't like the crust. I mean, they're gearing it towards the kids.
Yeah, maybe. I like the crust, obviously. But the, I don't know. Maybe we'll have to put a poll out there whether people eat the crust or throw the crust away. What do you think, Tony?
I always eat it. I never understood why. Brad, you know old Brent, our buddy Brent.
Oh, God.
Well, you both know.
Yes.
I don't know why I singled you out. Both know him. But he, when to live together, he would always call it the pizza bone, and he's like, I don't eat the pizza bone, I just throw it away.
I thought you were going to tell the story about when we were in the cafeteria in college, and we put the pizza crust underneath the pie. Underneath the pie, because we thought, oh, the football coach will take that piece of pie, and he'll be like, oh, what is this, crust? And then we forgot about it, and then 3 days later, a guy that was in a play with us was all like, guys, the most disgusting thing happened to me. I was eating a piece of pie, and I got to the end of it, the bottom of it, and there was crust, pizza crust. And we're like, oh, shit, we totally forgot about it.
So 3 days went by and nobody ate
3 days. We totally forgot we did that.
Yeah.
It was great. All right.
Oh, unsanitary.
Yeah.
Oh, that was disgusting.
But I personally eat the pizza crust. I like the pizza crust.
I do too.
Yeah, I do too.
Even when you were younger, I did too.
Yeah, did too then.
Yeah. Why would you stop?
Do you fold the pizza? Is that how you eat it? Or what do you do?
It depends on how big the slice is. If it's like one of those giant monster slices, I like to fold it up and eat it like an envelope, like a taco pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Do you prefer New York style or Chicago style?
That's a tough one. I think I would have to go – if I had a gun to my head, if I had nunchucks to my head and I had to choose, it would probably be New York style.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
But you don't have to take my word for it.
Okay. I like Chicago style. But yeah, I think I've always been a bigger fan of New York.
All right. Where are we in the movie? Are we...
The movie.
We're
So we get a little expository dialogue at this point, talking about what happened in the first movie, kind of recapping a little bit about Shredder.
Right.
Or Splinter defeating Shredder and basically flipping him into the trash where Casey Jones violently murdered him. and at that point, Splinter shows up. He drops some knowledge on them and says they need to be apart from this world and that they need to leave Shredder buried in the past and basically get out of here because they can't live above ground. They need to be back in the sewer or out of sight because it'll just be easier for them.
Right.
When he says that they need to leave Shredder buried, we cut to this big trash pile where Shredder's hand pops out of the garbage. So I'm not sure how long he's been, like dying
although
in the
like
garbage.
Jason Voorhees kind of like,
yeah,
with his hand kind of,
yeah, exactly,
coming up from,
well,
the grave.
That's what I was wondering. Did they give us any kind of timeline as to how long they've been? I got the impression that they've been living with April long enough that they've trashed the place and that it's getting, even though this apartment is huge. It's huge. It's getting rather small because they've all been living together for a long time.
At one point, Splinter comes from upstairs.
Shredder just... What's that?
Splinter comes from upstairs.
Yeah,
in the apartment.
She's got an upstairs.
And I'm like, what's going on, like, with you and Splinter?
Like, yeah, well, come on. I mean, it's a logical choice. But, I mean, but then, like, how long has Shredder been laying in this garbage pile?
That's true. Like,
you know, it's like, it makes it seem like they just dumped his body into the garbage, you know, like, what? Like, how long has he been laying there? Months now?
It's okay. He just woke up. So.
Well, he didn't get crushed.
He's been eating all the pizza crusts that the turtles threw out.
That's the real reason they don't eat the pizza crusts. They have to.
So the Foot Clan, we find the Foot Clan that's basically been falling apart at this time. So there's only a few of them left. Looks like Tatsu's their leader now. So he is talking about, you know, coming back to prominence. They need to come back and be great again. And just then Shredder busts in. And apparently has a shredded face now, and he...
I don't know. We can't really see, can we?
No, it's dark, so we can't see it. But then they go, his face. That's all they say. His face.
Which it's I also handsome. Believe that they only did that for the fact that they replaced the actor who played Shredder as well.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, well, we'll just say his face got messed up. That's a great way to disguise yeah. that. You know.
So the guy who played Shredder in the first one, he does a lot of, he usually plays like this kind of like laid back California guy type character. He was
in the first one. Yeah.
Yeah. He was like an Eli Stone. He was a regular in that. And he's a great actor.
He's a character actor.
Of course, when years later, I was like, oh my God, he was Shredder.
Yeah, right.
Like, and now I can never quite look at him the same or look at Shredder the same. I'm always like, ah, oh, that's just, what's his name? Laid back. So basically Shredder comes in and says he wants everybody to go after, he wants the turtles. He wants their heads on a platter at this point. So now, we cut back to April, who is reporting on some toxic waste cleanup by this company, TGRI.
I remember watching TGRI on Fridays, right?
On Friday nights,
Family Matters and Perfect Strangers. Yeah, people would say TGRI.
That's true.
And it would stand for, thank God it's Friday.
Thank God it. Thank God. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm not even going to try on
No,
that
don't
one.
Try.
So she speaks to Professor Jordan Perry, played by David Warner, who says they're going to make amends for this damage they've done to the environment after, like, dumping these canisters of toxic waste for years. So close by, it turns out while they're cleaning this up, close by they find this area that has these giant mutant dandelions. There are apparently more canisters out there causing mutations, and they need to find them. Giant dandelions.
I love how they've just been burying them for years. Yeah. And, like, don't they even mention it. He's just like, how are we supposed to know how many there are? We've been burying them for years. Like, like, you've lost track of how many toxic ooze canisters you've buried out in the middle of nowhere. Okay, I guess. Well, and
you would think they'd have all these barrels. I'm more happy that they just had little canisters of it. Like, they were pretty efficient with their waste.
Yeah,
true. Right?
They couldn't even get rid of those E.T., like, Atari video games. But these ooze cans.
Put the Atari games down. Now cover them with ooze. So April's cameraman, Freddy, sees them coming from across the way, and he goes over and finds one and picks it and then just, like, runs off. And the next thing we see is that he brings it to Shredder. So it turns out Freddy, her cameraman, is actually a member of the Foot Clan.
Da-da-da.
Da-da-da. Which is a weird plot point they don't really get to that much.
No.
And don't you love how, like, that was his first day? Like, they made a point to say, hey, this is your first day on the job, Freddy. And then, like... why was he a cameraman or like a help for a cameraman? Like the Foot's infiltrating the news now. Like, why do they give a shit?
They don't give a shit.
I don't know.
Foot news.
Get your Foot News. Foot news. Kick off your Sunday news. Foot news.
All right, so the turtles are cleaning the apartment as a surprise for April. And, of course, there's this weird moment where Donatello makes out with a mop.
Yeah, what was that about?
That was very on character. That's what I put on my notes. Am I off on that one? I've never seen the cartoon, so maybe I'm
a little
just...
off on the character.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
The whole time, I feel like Donatello got hit in the head. Because this whole movie, he is very, like, awkward, and not just, like, awkward, but, like, scary awkward.
Yeah,
maybe, making out with mops.
Maybe he's autistic, maybe.
Like, getting excited about the clown.
The fun fact is, they didn't bring Corey Feldman back to voice Donatello because they thought it would be too off-putting for kids and, like, bad publicity. But yet, we're just going to have Donatello make out with a mop, and that's fine. That's cool.
It was Corey Feldman's drug days. Is that what it was? His drug problems? Okay.
Yeah, he was in rehab and all that.
Yeah.
So then we come to probably the most awkward exchange.
The mop and him wasn't? No. Okay.
So April says, "Where's Splinter?" And they go, "He's been on the roof ever since your report." She goes, "Doing what?" And we see Splinter start coming down the stairs, and he goes, "Coming." What conclusion?
Like, he pauses.
He pauses in the weirdest place.
Now, what we have to tell the listeners is that he's played by, what's his face?
Kevin Clash.
Kevin Clash.
The guy who did the voice of Elmo.
Who got into some trouble. Back in the day.
And now we know why he's with a bunch of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Jesus.
So, but yeah, we had to rewind it. We paused it and rewound it because we were laughing so hard. I was like,
yeah,
wow,
it was
that's,
pretty, yeah.
That's some pretty awkward phrasing, guys.
Phrasing.
So, he asks the turtles to join him.
Of course he does.
Of course. But also before this, I wanted to bring up this point before we got any further, is right before he enters. Here's the second time in the movie where they do this whole football setup with the pizza and everything. Like, but it's like all football analogy. They go for the long pass. And they have this. It's like they practice this football maneuver repeatedly And they use it in their fights. They use it in their eating of pizza, the distribution of pizza, the chores. Like I don't know when they became such football fans all of a sudden, but they were all about football moves, this movie.
Yeah.
The script was co-written by Larry Zonka.
Executive producer Dick Butkus.
So he takes the turtles to a secluded place on the roof.
Wait, did our podcast just reference Larry Zonka?
Yeah.
That's amazing. I love this.
So he tells them about this canister and shows them the canister that the mutagenic ooze that turned him into a turtle that it came out of, or turned him into Ninja Turtles came out of. He kept it all these years. And, of course, when he puts it together, it shows TGRI.
Which I used to watch that on Fridays.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
Perfect Strangers, Step by Step.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Yes. Teenage Mutant Ninja Urkels?
Ninja Urkel.
So it turns out that...
Did I do that?
So it turns out... Professor Perry, so back at the lab, he is disposing of all of the ooze, canister by canister. He's destroying all of it.
Just flush it down the toilet.
Perfect. And I don't know if you noticed this, guys, but they're just playing Star Trek sound effects.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They were like, hey, do we have a Star Trek sound effects CD? Just play it in the background.
Bleep, blop, bloop.
And this looks like a lab that they would have built for, like, Family Matters.
Like, I think they did recycle it from Family Matters.
When
it was Steve
Urkel became Urkel.
Yeah, when he became Stefan Urkel.
Stefan Urkel.
I think that was a spinoff of this. So he's got one canister left to destroy when he gets jumped by the Foot Clan.
Oh, these guys are idiots.
Yeah.
These guys are terrible. There are like three villains in any type of pop culture who are terrible, in my opinion, who are dumber, who have really bad IQs, who it doesn't take a lot to become a member of. One of them is a foot soldier.
Mm-hmm.
The other one's a stormtrooper.
Yeah.
And another one's a temple guard from Legends of the Hidden Temple. You know what I mean?
Yes.
All you need to do if you're a temple guard is auditions for temple guards.
Wave your hands
in.
Around a little bit.
And also, you have to be Kevin Clash.
Yeah,
because you've got to grab children.
Oh,
like I'm just saying.
Oh God.
So,
temple guard.
So the turtles arrive moments later to see the lab is abandoned, and they learn there's one last canister. And then they try to do something with, like, hacking the computer to find out where it went, and of course they break it.
It doesn't hack the computer. He hits it with his three fingers.
I love how one wrong move in that system fries the entire system.
The whole thing is
like, that's a hell of a backup plan, you know? It's like, oh, if somebody tries to, like, hack into our system, we're just going to fry the entire database and lose all of our records.
It's like Windows Vista.
Windows Vista.
So, so...
The ooze just looks like Surge Soda to me, by the way. Did it to you?
The ooze...
Or Nickelodeon Slime?
Do you guys remember?
Slime.
You know how they used to make those, like, pudding pies?
It's not slime, it's ooze.
Hostess would make those little pies with, like, the pudding inside of them.
Sure.
They used to make... They used to make the Ninja Turtle ones.
Gross.
That had like, that green-colored ooze. It was just, like, vanilla pudding with, green food coloring in it. Oh, I loved those things. They were the best. Like, if we went to the store, I had to have one.
They were delicious. They were great.
Now we see, as they're doing stuff on the computer, the Foot Clan is kind of like in the background circling around them.
Yeah, they're idiots.
Yeah, they could have gotten away. The turtles were so fixated on the computer, you could have been gone. Like, this would not have been a big deal. Yeah, there
was no reason to come back.
Yeah. Foot soldiers, stormtroopers, Legends of the Hidden Temple, Temple Guards. Idiots.
Yeah, I love how they're searching through the databases of mutagen canisters, and, like, it's like, disposed. Active! Was, like, really big on the screen, so there was no missing it.
Yeah, 72-point like, font and everything, yeah.
Helvetica. Yeah.
So, not only are, like, do the foot circle around the turtles at this point, Tatsu is also there, and he holds up the canister, like, come and get it. Like, at least have your soldiers hold them off while you slink out of the room.
Like, yeah, that was...
But he dangles it in front of him. He's not a good ninja. Anyway, but the, we get into some more comical ninja fighting. With pretty weaponless. Actually, at one point, I see that Leonardo, so he has his swords sheathed still, but he's holding like two sticks that he's fighting them with. I was really confused about that.
Yeah, it's very odd.
Yeah.
I don't know where he got the sticks.
Nor do I. Because at first I thought it was Donatello and maybe his staff broke, but it wasn't that, so I don't know. And again, they start doing the football moves, Tony.
Right? See? Here it comes up again.
Yeah.
It's their favorite move.
Yeah, and like and then they're like chair surfing for a minute. I mean, it's just it's comically bad.
It gets really cheesy, way cheesier than a Roy's cheese pizza with extra cheese.
Roy invented stuffed crust, it's true. So then finally Tatsu gets bored and says ninja vanish and just like throws the smoke and they all leave escape.
See, that's the reason they didn't leave the first time, because they have to have smoke in order to disappear completely, so that's why they didn't leave the first time.
There you go.
Perfect. So Kino shows up later to April's place with an unsolicited pizza. April tries to, she's like, okay, goodbye, go. And of course there's like, he helps himself, or just shows himself into her apartment, and off the counter is a couple pairs of nunchucks. And he's like, what are these? And she goes, oh yeah, you know me, I love chucking. And starts like, starts badly spinning around the nunchucks. And of course, she's trying to distract him, but he manages to see Raphael's like foot sticking out from under like a partition, which he's
like,
stomps.
Did he forget how to ninja all of a sudden? Yeah, he was the worst ninja in the world right
there. Think in the first movie, they all hid from like her boss who was in the room. They were like hanging from the ceiling and crap, but they cannot get away from this one kid.
Yeah, in the first one, they're in the bathroom. They're literally in a tiny little bathroom, and he's avoiding him like the plague. And he's hiding behind a screen. Oh, good job, Raph.
So Kino discovers them, and they kind of talk with him, and he's pretty okay with him. I mean, he's seen them before, so I don't know why it's such a big mystery this time. But so he's fine. And he actually, they were talking about the Foot Clan and said, hey, those guys are recruiting. They're trying to get anybody with martial arts skills to come and basically audition for them. And he offers to show off his awesome martial arts skills.
Right, because the clan is recruiting.
Yes.
Right? And then, phrasing. Foot Clan, sorry.
Foot Clan, there you go.
Topical, sorry.
Clan with a C.
So he offers to go undercover and to go and try out for them. And Raph agrees and says, you know, yeah, this would be a perfect opportunity for us to find them. Splinter says no, because it's just too dangerous for this kid.
What a buzzkill.
Yeah. And of course, in the meantime, we cut back to the Foot Clan's hideout in the junkyard, where they have prepared...
Can we go back? There's one of my favorite parts in there. This was great, and it's totally stupid, but I love it because during that whole time that they were talking about and making the plans, Mikey, I can't remember what is it. He says something. Oh, because he introduces them all to his Leonardo, Michelangelo, Donatello, and Raphael, and Michelangelo's like, yeah, all the good ones end in O, and starts a fight with Raphael. And then so, like, Splinter makes him do the backflips as punishment.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
right.
And in the background, you just hear the bump, bump, one, bump, bump, two, and throughout the whole scene. And then as Raphael storms off, they cut to Mikey, and he's just sitting there jumping and clapping and counting, pretending to do the backflips. And as a kid, I thought that was one of the funniest. That was my second favorite joke of the whole movie. My second favorite. We'll get to my first coming up soon.
But no, that to me, that was more of like, that's like the kind of Michelangelo stuff I do like.
It was a really good joke. I felt.
Yeah.
It was really good.
It was perfect. I'm sad I almost missed that. So thank you for bringing that one up. So at the Foot Clan's hideout, so they're getting ready to mutate what they say are the two most vicious animals they could find. of course, Perry protests, but Tatsu is all up in his grill about it. And eventually he starts feeding the animals the sludge from the canister. And it's awkward. The canister is not that big.
No, it's not.
But there is, like, tons in there, apparently.
Apparently, everyone is just chugging this thing.
Yeah. So
I felt like it was like a hamster water bottle, and they were just going up and licking it. And...
Oh, that might be.
Maybe. They weren't all taking shots of the ooze.
It was filled
with... Give me some more ooze, bartender.
It was filled with pudding.
Making a double ooze.
I actually want to make a shot called The Secret of the Ooze.
my God.
So the turtles sneak back into the sewers because they're going to look for a new home. And we get a little Michelangelo doing Casablanca. I almost Casablanca there for a minute, but Michelangelo's doing a little Casablanca as he's leaving to head back into the sewers. And, of course, when they get in there, Raphael is irritated because he wants to go after the Foot Clan.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying, no, we have to get a new home first and get us away from April because we don't want her to get hurt and all this. So he splits off from the rest of them. And they said, well, look, any idiot can find a new place to live. And they're like, yeah, any idiot can, as like Mikey falls into an old, like falls through a hole into this old train station. So he found their hideout. And actually, I like this hideout.
I do too.
I think it's super cool.
It's super sweet.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And they still have it in the third movie too.
I would live there.
Yeah. Right. And mm-hmm. It's got a train car in it and everything that they can go into. It's perfect. It's pretty cool. Awesome.
And the electricity just still works.
It works.
Like, they just flip the lights on and like, hey, cool.
They can
Nobody ever
out.
Shut the power off to this.
Yeah, and there's a payphone.
There's a payphone that works. It's amazing. Yeah.
That's the weirdest part. Obviously, this was sealed off like in the 20s.
Who needs 20th century? Or 21st century? What are the realtor... place that they say
21st century
realtor.
Yeah.
Shut up, I don't know what it's called.
Is this the same underground like railway that gets sealed off like in Ghostbusters 2?
Perhaps.
Yeah, I think so.
I think they live in the same world.
They're just reusing the set. Sure,
but don't take my word for it. So we cut back to the creatures now are growing. So we know they're getting bigger in there. And Shredder says the next time that he fights the turtles, it's going to be freak versus freak. So he plans on unleashing them on the turtles.
He's
going to
get freaky.
Freaky. So April, in her newsroom, is getting chewed by her boss. So he phrasing. Wants. He wants. I'm sorry.
chewed out by phrasing. spoken to like angrily. At her boss?
Okay. No. April's boss is riding her hard.
Oh, that's good. That's good. There it is. Go with that.
So he wants her to report on swimsuits in the 90s. And she says no, because she wants to do hard-hitting news like she's been doing.
That was my notes as well, because that was such a great news article. Like, look into the future, swimsuits of the 90s. Like, what? Okay.
It'll be much like they are now.
Screw the toxic sludge.
Yeah, nobody wants to hear about that.
Report that you're doing, April.
She said something about, like, no, I want something people are actually going to be interested in. And he goes, it piqued my interest.
Yes. Yes, the sexist, horny old news editor of the 90s, you know. That's stereotypical.
The archetype character that you always find in these movies. The horny sexist editor from the newspaper.
Just the stock character in every 90s movie.
I saw it in St. Elmo's Fire. I saw it everywhere. Big had one. Name another 90s movie, Tony.
Name another one?
Yeah.
Let's see. How about every single movie out of the 90s?
Yeah, stock character.
So while she's getting... While the boss is telling her, like, that she needs to change what she's doing.
Except Ghostbusters 2. It didn't have it in there.
No, it didn't. Donatello calls to say that they found a place and to see if Raphael's with her. And she says, no, he's not with me, so that makes us wonder, where is Raphael?
Which, I played that video game. Where in the world is Raphael? From Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Perfect.
I would play that, and then I would watch TGRI, whatever.
TGRI.
Yeah, I would watch that.
Mm-hmm. So
every Friday, I was a nerd. But don't take my word for it.
So at the foot hideout, they released the creatures. They said, oh, their cages aren't going to hold them anymore. Release the bar. So there's this bar that's holding it, and they take it off.
One bar is holding these things.
One bar.
And
it's like a wall made out of a plastic cafeteria tray.
Oh. That's terrible.
That's what's holding them back, these vicious
monsters. It's Fred Sanford's junkyard, pretty much.
Yeah,
that's holding
the shredder is.
Yeah.
We get our very first look of Toka, which is a...
At the Toka, Toka Cabana.
Alligator snapping turtle. And Razar, who is a wolf. So Shredder's like, you know, come on, fight me. And he's like challenging him. And he's like, by the end of this, you will call me your master. And of course they start going, mama? And they start calling him Mama. And, of course, that pisses Shredder off. Like, I do love this moment because they're, like, hugging him and he just looks, like, repulsed. And the next thing is him, like...
I love that they had enough mentality to know the word Mama. And what it actually means.
Yes.
And have a feeling associated with it. That's,
yes.
That's so great.
Every turtle and wolf knows Mama down deep at some point. So
Mama, I'm coming.
But Shredder like kicks the doors open and goes, "They're babies!" And is like screaming as he enters. And he's like, "Well, yeah. I mean, come on." He goes, "Ugh, they're idiots." And of course, the professor is like, "Well, they're not idiots. They're babies."
Oh no, they're idiots.
And then he goes, "Oh no, wait, no, they are idiots." But of course. Shredder's like, go have him killed. Like, we just saw Razar.
We just called you mother. Go have them killed.
We just called you mama. And we just...
Affection. I don't want affection.
Because A.C. Slater taught them language.
Hey, mama.
Hey, mama.
Hey, mama. Make me a sandwich. go to their junkyard and make me a sandwich.
Fight me them turtles, mama. So. So we watch Razar like bend this bar in half, and he's like, yeah, they're useless, kill them. So the professor's like, hey, they may not be smart, but they're super strong. Why don't you let them live? And they're loyal to you. And so he's like, yeah, yeah, all that stuff you said, I'm good with that. So he's going to let them live. In the meantime, we see Kino auditioning for the foot with Raphael's help. So, like, they do the whole thing. Like, he's fighting people, which is all on his own. But then...
feel like he should have really made the cut because he was the only one who showed up for the auditions with no leather on whatsoever. He did not look like a stereotypical gang member, so I did not believe his performance at all.
No.
Yeah. No, he looked like he was the most undercover. Like, that's what you want from a ninja, is somebody who blends in.
Right.
Not these other guys. And plus, he kicked everybody's ass, so...
He goes to the initiation, right?
Yeah.
And towards the end of the initiation.
Well, they have their suit with these bells on it.
No, like, I was going to say, like, because he does that one where he's fighting.
Yeah.
It's like some kind of, like, a foot fight club. And I said,
yeah.
I wrote, first rule of foot fight club is to tell everybody. We need people.
We'll take anybody and everybody.
Hi, we're a ninja gang and we're recruiting.
Okay, I guess I have nothing to do. I've just been eating this new thing called pizza all day.
I know. Doesn't he say, like, the word on the street is the Foot Clan's looking for new members? Like they're just, like, telling people, handing out flyers at the airport. Like, hey, do you have any ninja skills? We need you. Sign up.
Well, he says martial arts, which apparently you need to have your own ninja skills, like, already built in, because you need to, like, take all the bells off this suit.
Yeah, I didn't even get that. I was like, what is that?
Yeah.
Why is that
and
a test?
One sound, and you fail. One sound. Like, what am I going, like, and was there a number, like, you have to get more than 10? Like, he wasn't very specific. Like, what if you just take one? Is that good enough? I don't want to make any noise.
I didn't make a sound.
Well, no,
I just took one.
No wonder you guys are failing if you just, like, do these impossible things.
It's a very strict regimen.
You have to bring your own ninja skills with you.
But to be fair, it's really hard to become a foot ninja, which I was really shocked about, because they are dumber than a box of rocks.
That's true.
They got to go through all that. Come on.
Who remember last time they had that whole hideout filled with kids?
All those kids were
ninjas before they got there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like the scene from Pinocchio of, like, the... all the kids smoking and drinking and hanging out.
Talking with Sam Rockwell.
Yeah.
So, let's see. So, of course, when he has to get these bells, also the guy goes, and we work in complete secrecy, and, like, throws down a smoke bomb. And, of course, Raphael, we see him swoop in and basically get all the bells and load Kino up with them. So he passes. So, you know, in most movies, when somebody infiltrates, they're going to be there for, like, a little bit.
Like a
infiltrating.
While. Yeah. Undercover. So, you don't want to blow your cover.
Yeah. So the next scene is Kino at their hideout, and he's like, this is where it is. Okay. And Raphael is there with him. He sees Shredder and, of course, is freaked out. But that's it. Then he gets caught right away. No reason.
Like, Raphael was good enough to, like, get into there undetected and, like, have a conversation with Kino, and then they just stand there stupidly out in the open talking to each other.
Yeah, and of course.
It was pretty,
like,
dumb.
It
was a dumb move.
Well, I'm trying to buy some parts for a car. So he's, like, trying to...
I need a door for a 57 Chevy. I was hoping I could find it here.
Tatsu has seen you before. I think he knows what's going on. And of course, they do the classic, like, Tatsu snaps, and, like, 50 people rush in.
Right.
And of course, you know, they're going after Raphael. They're trying to fight him, and he says, "Kino, just run, get out of here. I'll hold him off." And so Raphael's fighting him, and he's doing okay. Kino fights his way out, and then Raphael, of course, they manage to overpower him, and they're holding him when Shredder comes up, which of course stuns him, just because, you know, they always just thought he was dead. So at this point, Kino runs, finds the turtles, and says, "Hey, they've got Raphael. We got to go save him. I can show you where he is." So the turtles come back, and there's like maybe a few guards that they take out pretty easily. But there's nobody else around. So
go ahead.
Can we just talk about how far away this dump was from where the turtles were? Like, how he had to run like 20 miles, because when they cut to the scene of him leaving the dump and then like he's literally like running across a bridge and like, yeah, the city is in the background, and like he's at least 20 miles away and he's just like running forever. But that's, like, you only see like 10 seconds of it. But I'm like, well, how far away was this dump?
Yeah, it's, well, there's a lot
how
of
far
stuff
away
in
was
this
dump? Well, they made this movie about a year after the first. Oh, we're not talking about the movie. Oh, sorry.
Ooh. The but they like a lot of the places that take place in this movie are weirdly close.
Yeah, it seems very close.
So there really aren't that many different New York sets in this one as compared to the first one.
That's true.
Yeah, in the first one you get out in the countryside and whatever. Mm-hmm. That really doesn't happen much here. But of course they all the turtles all stumble into this trap. And of course, Donatello says, if they were going to spring a trap, they'd do it right about now, pointing to a watch that he has.
Yeah, well, I don't know where he got the watch.
No one, never seen a Ninja Turtle wear a watch,
you know,
never before and never after that, just for that,
just for that bit.
Yeah. I was gonna say, and he didn't have it in the scene afterwards either. Like, it's gone now. No. Like, they're like, "I'll ditch the watch," because that's just taking up space. But
he's just been waiting for this gag to happen.
But that's what I appreciate about this movie so much, is they went to such lengths to set up these gags.
Yeah.
And like, but right before this though, I wanted to bring us back a second, because we have just reached my favorite joke of the entire series. Because I love when they're sneaking in and Leonardo's like, "Oh, it's quiet." And Donatello's like, "Yeah, a little too quiet." And then they take out the two guards. And then again, he's like, "Wow, that was easy." And he's like, "Yeah, a little too easy." And then they turn the corner. And then he says, "Look, it's Raph." And then Michelangelo says, "Yeah, a little too Raph."
I do love that part, too. I forgot about
it's
that.
The greatest, it's my favorite joke of the entire series. I love it. It's so good.
No, I love that part. Again, like, it's a good Michelangelo line. Like, sometimes, to me, Michelangelo sometimes was hit or miss. Like, they would give him good, fun stuff, or you would get, like, ridiculous things that you're like, "Michelangelo, take your fidget spinner and just focus for a minute."
Fidget spinner. Okay, I will.
So now, they're just fighting in the trap, trying to fight these guys off. And
or these gays off, whatever.
Say gays. Fighting these guys off. And
so these gays.
What? Yeah. And they, of course, doing football maneuvers.
That's what it is, gay. While they're doing it. Right.
Again.
Yeah.
They are moving around like the junkyard, like it's the that one thing on American Gladiators.
Yeah.
Where they had to like shoot the ball up at the target thing, and the tennis thing, and that's a Larry Zonka hosted that, so I just wanted to bring it back to Larry Zonka.
Oh, I forgot before that. So when the turtles get trapped, they actually get caught in a net that has these ropes that are giant. Like, they didn't see it or realize they were walking on top of it, but then they do manage to get snagged in it. And also, they don't see the rope hovered into the air or whatever.
Yeah.
He makes a Ralph Nader reference.
He does. Like,
what
they were like,
that yeah, about?
I don't know. Like, he said something about the ropes being good quality, and he's like, good, I'll write a letter to Ralph Nader?
Yeah, I didn't understand that. Like,
no.
It must be very topical.
I don't think it was topical at the time.
Very topical 90s humor.
I have no clue what that was.
Yeah.
So
it seemed like a forced joke.
Yeah. Now, and I don't know if they realize this, but they do have weapons on them. One of them in particular has swords. but nobody seems to utilize them. And they wait for Splinter to shoot a tiny, tiny little arrow, which apparently rips the giant rope holding all of them, and so that they get freed. And, of course, all this time that they're in this, I think they're trying to be, like, put them in a crusher, but they're just, slowly spinning them around.
They have the giant spikes of metal and jagged metal that they're going to drop them on.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but they're just, like, slowly spinning them around towards it. Like, I don't...
Well,
it's taking forever.
They set the trap up on the complete opposite end of the metal spikes, of the junkyard. I was like, why didn't you just put those right next to each other and save a lot of time?
This movie doesn't have a lot of plot going for it. I actually wrote at this point that a Bazooka Joe bubblegum comic strip has more plot than this movie. And it probably has more going on.
And the flavor lasts longer.
So after Splinter frees them, that's when the Redonkulous fighting starts.
It's crazy.
But then Shredder finally releases Toka and Razar.
Bebop
and of course,
and Rocksteady.
Yeah. Yes. No. Not Bebop and Rocksteady.
Oh yeah, because we couldn't use them.
Right. So he.
Fun fact here is that they didn't use Bebop and Rocksteady because Eastman did not want them to resemble the cartoon at all because he hated the cartoon
because
it was so childish and kiddie. And so they opted out. They didn't want to use Bebop, Rocksteady, Krang, any of those people. So they made up Toka and Razar for this movie, for specifically that.
Yeah.
Then made them cartoony and then goofy.
Yeah, but you don't have to take my word for it.
Okay, so of course the turtles fight Toka and Razar one at a time, which means they all are getting beat up and thrown around. Donnie, who gets thrown through a building, finds Professor Perry and frees him. Mikey gets thrown and lands by a manhole cover. Like, he kind of sees the impression of it and manages to find a manhole. So that they can escape down the sewers.
Where's Splinter during this?
I don't know. They even comment. They're like, "Yeah, Splinter. He's fine. He showed up for one thing, which was to shoot an arrow at a rope." And then,
well, I did my thing. Time to go back.
You could have
and do meth with children.
Get out of there. Knowing that the Shredder's there and everybody else, and then like Leo looks up, he's like, "Guess we're on our own, guys." Like, and then Donnie was like excited about it. He's like, "Yeah!" Like, having Splinter there was a bummer. Or they're like, "Well, we can't do our football moves when Splinter's around because he gets mad at us for goofing around when we fight." So.
I told you not to practice under Larry Zonka.
So, Toka tries to follow the turtles into the sewers, but he's too big to do it, so he just kind of gets stuck. He Winnie the Poohs himself. And, of course, Michelangelo is tickling his feet.
Freezing.
What?
Oh, sorry.
Michelangelo's
I was on the manhole
his,
thing.
Oh. Still. Is tickling his feet, and, freezing. Of course, he's kind of laughing and stuck. You know, they said he says, "Oh, turtles," and they said, "Well, it's hard to understand or hard to explain. We'll explain later." And he goes, "Oh no!" And he explains they were exposed to mutagenic ooze and now they've grown and
what?
All
we're all mistakes.
Yeah, he's very impressed by them, and so he and that kind of comes back up too. He He learns it was because it was an accident. Like, it wasn't done for any grand reason.
Oh, we're all mistakes, aren't we?
Yeah. And so the Turtles, like many people in their teens, learned that they were a mistake. Donnie, thank you. Donnie, more than anyone. So he's depressed because he wants to think that they're special and that, you know, things have happened for a reason and there has to be more to it. But it wasn't. It was just an accident with the ooze getting dumped and it leaking into other things.
I was a little taken out of that scene. Like, I didn't like that because Donnie, the scientific one, who everything is like, what? There's not a greater purpose? There's not a god that thought I was special? Like, why was he the one upset about it? Like, that should have been like a Leonardo thing or something. Like,
that is a pretty emo Leonardo thing to happen.
Yeah, I was like, you should have known better. You deal in science. You're a scientific guy. You should have known that. Of course, this was an accident.
Yeah,
emo Leonardo was a good band name too.
Emo Nardo.
Yeah, emo Nardo.
Emo Nardo.
So
that was good. I love that.
So
sorry, I can't. That one got me.
No, that's fine.
So Shredder takes Toka and Razar into the city at this point, and just tells them to play and lets them trash the city. And there's, like, I think you had commented too, Bradley, there's, like, this little bit of humor where you see this old couple getting into a taxi cab.
Yeah.
And the guy goes, they're giant animals attacking over or breaking things over there. What will they do if they get over here? And she goes, tell them to get their own cab.
It's a very New York thing. Like, yeah. I love, like, oh, yeah, it reminded me that we were in New York.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's such a New York thing to say. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, there's giant monsters wreaking hell in the city. Eh, let them get their own cab. I don't give a shit.
Let them get their own cab.
and this movie, I think, misses some of that.
Yeah, it misses some of that. That's what I said to him. I go, I kind of wanted more of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of the flavor of where we were. Instead, they just run 2 minutes and, oh, I'm at April's house.
Perfect. Yeah. She's 2 minutes from everywhere.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
April covers the report the next day of, like, everything that's trashed.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. They knocked down 2 things.
They knocked down more than 2.
Oh, 3 things on a car. Let's get the local news out. We got to get the local news.
She talks
still,
to...
They continued after the night. I mean.
Oh, okay. That one set they ruined.
They're stealing cabs all over the city.
Sorry, that got me.
Okay, so April talks to Chief Stearns.
Cab. Mother.
Hey, buddy. Mom.
Cab.
Hey, Cab. Hailing down cabs left and right.
Where you headed?
Mama. Cab, mother.
Mama.
Mama. I think Tori's crying.
So April talks to the Chief Stearns, who we had got back from the first movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We managed
to get
him.
I was happy to see him back.
Yeah. And she's asking him what's going on and trying to get it just off the record, like, what's happening here? And he's being evasive, and she kind of alludes to Toka and Razar and basically sees in his face that, yeah, this is what's going on. After talking with the chief, she goes back by her van and she goes, hey, where's Freddy? And they go, I don't know where he is. So she is putting some stuff away and gets grabbed by the Foot Clan and finds out Freddy is a member. And so, of course, he goes, my master Shredder. has a message for the turtles. And, you know, I was like, oh, wait, are we going to get something threatening? Nope, they just give her the message and she goes home.
Yeah. Don't use her as leverage for anything. Yeah. Don't kidnap her.
Yeah, at least in the first movie, they slapped her in the mouth or whatever. They didn't even
do that. I was waiting for the callback. Like, they're going to slap her again.
Yeah.
But then...
Yeah. So they basically said, hey, Shredder's going to release Toka and Razzar into Central Park unless you agree to his demands. Which
you were like, okay, Central Park.
Yeah, Central Park. There's plenty of room for people to get away from there.
Yeah.
Like,
I was going to say, they would be the least dangerous things in Central Park at night, I mean.
What happened to Token Res? Oh, they are dead. They are gone.
Oh, we shouldn't have let them into Central Park at night. No. That was a bad idea. Oh,
and then they become like the cold open for a Law & Order episode. Do you know what I mean? Like, Lenny comes up.
Well...
They were trying to get a cab.
Law & Order Special Mutants Unit.
The SMU.
So, at this point, they agree that they will go meet. Professor Perry is working on a cure with the turtles. And of course we get this whole bit where, you know, they're mixing chemicals very exactly. And Donatello is using like an old timey hand mixer to mix it all up. And Michelangelo drops a piece of pizza into it. And of course they all do the nonchalant, like, still stirring and everything.
Well, pizza's new. We don't know what it will do.
Yeah.
We have no idea what the adverse side effects would be. I love how they just don't even, like, even bring it up anymore. They mix it in and be like, yeah, this is still going to work. This is fine. This isn't any type of scientific process that has to be exact.
Later when he scoops it out... And it's like obviously looks like pureed pizza.
Yeah.
And he's not like, huh, those things I mixed together should not look like this. Whatever.
This is an unexpected outcome, but okay, we'll still roll.
Let's roll with it. Put it in the ice cube trays.
So, I know. Why was that their thing was to put it in the ice cubes?
What was that?
Like,
he said because it has to be ingested. So they were like, if we put it in ice cube shape.
Ice cubes, though?
Who knows if making it cold will make it worse. People are bad at this.
But their idea, well, because then Mikey has the idea of how they're going to ingest it.
Yes.
Which they still put it into ice cubes and then put it into the donuts. Which I just thought, wouldn't it just be like a cream-filled donut? Wouldn't that be
there you go.
Better?
That would be better.
Yeah.
Right?
Like a Long John?
Yeah, like a Long John.
Which he eats. He eats a Long John the first time.
Yeah. Like, and it would have been less conspicuous. Because, I mean, we'll get to it here in a second of why the ice cubes didn't work, I felt.
Oh, whoa. Surprise.
So they show up. And, of course, they're carrying a box of donuts. Nothing suspicious about any of it.
We meant to mention that they mix this all up and put it in a Bart Simpson glass.
Yes, they put it in a Bart
Simpson glass.
Which, finally, they got the whole collection of glasses. They ordered so many pizzas that they got all the collection of the Bart Simpson characters.
And they're finally like, oh, good, we can stop eating pizza now.
That was their whole deal.
That was the whole reason why people were eating pizza.
Everybody
we
in New
gotta
York
get these Bart Simpson glasses.
Wants those Bart Simpson jelly jam glasses.
That's why everyone was eating pizza.
Everybody secretly hates pizza. They just can't stand it, but they want the Bart Simpson glasses so bad.
You get just are getting done when they roll out with like Boba Fett glasses. Ugh.
Oh, damn. Oh, God.
Damn. Now we gotta adjust this.
We went on this date for nothing.
So the turtles show up with the donuts, and they say they're up against Token Razzar. And I said, stop. We have to have our traditional pre-fight donuts. And so, I mean, like, Shredder and Tatsu are ninjas, right? Like, they should know that it's not a ninja tradition to have pre-fight donuts.
Unless they're like, wait, maybe I missed that part of the manual.
Well, I love how they have they exchange the looks, and they both look at each other like, huh? And both audibly go, huh? Yeah. Like, yeah. We've never heard this before. But continue. We will allow it.
I'm intrigued.
Allow it.
Tatsu, stop eating them.
And again, I would like to bring up the point of we've been ingesting pizza throughout this entire fucking show, and now all of a sudden we decide to put the mutagen in donuts. Like, why couldn't they use a pizza with mutagen pizza sauce?
Pizza.
Like,
it's just a bunch of pizza crust soaked in mutagen.
Donuts aren't new. Pizza's new. Put it in pizza.
That might have been a little too suspicious. They're like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to like pizza yet. Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah. Yeah, this new thing called pizza. No thanks. It's just a fad. It'll never work.
So Toka and Razzar both eat a donut before Toka goes in, or Razzar goes in for the second one. And crushes it in his hand and realizes there's an ice cube inside of it. And from there, they get pissed because they do not like being tricked. And they are fighting.
They obviously know what that ice cube contains, and they understand the ramifications of ingesting it.
Clearly.
Why would you put an ice cube in my donut, you jerk?
I know. What is this?
What
is this sick shit?
Mom, what is this?
It tastes like pizza?
Ice cube.
So they start fighting.
Oh god.
So they're like in a warehouse on the docks.
Yeah, someone spray painted like Dock House Club.
Yeah, something like that.
On the side of the warehouse.
And so they're fighting and they get knocked through the wall into the dock club.
House. The Dock House Club.
The Dock House Club.
Yeah.
Where Vanilla Ice is performing.
Oh, no, that was Robin Van Winkle. Oh, known as Vanilla Ice. I'm
there
sorry.
You go.
Yeah. And kudos for Vanilla Ice for playing the Dock House Club.
I know, right?
Because that seems like... go ahead.
I just realized why they used ice cubes.
Oh, ice.
Vanilla Ice.
That ties it all together.
Yep.
Oh, they were heightened in the whole thing. That had to be it.
Because they were hoping next he would eat
vanilla ice. Let's not give this movie
ice.
That much credit. I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
I have to go with the answer because nothing else makes sense.
That's the only logical explanation.
Oh, yeah. Let me point out, too.
Because I get my donuts with ice cubes in them.
Excuse me,
can I take a dozen, but could you put a bunch of ice cubes in the middle of those? Perfect.
I did that all today. I'm sorry. The whole time that they're trying to get the Toka and Razzar to eat the ice cubes, two of them are in the background basically yell whispering, "It's not gonna work!
He won't fall for it!"
Like, please, stop doing that. Like, you're giving it away! But by this point, it's spilled into the club, and Vanilla Ice is performing, and so...
And he is killing it. Everyone is there. This is the heyday of Vanilla Ice.
It is. It's perfect. The turtles are fighting them, but Toka and Razzar, they keep like burping, and everybody's like getting grossed out by it because apparently it's pretty foul.
And they're not taken aback by the giant creatures fighting in the middle of the club.
They were like great costumes. Though they kept saying great costumes. Those costumes are awesome.
Yeah, nobody's like, weird, why would they pick giant turtle wolf and snapping turtle costumes? Like, whatever. Must be a new song coming out.
Called the Wolf and Snapping Turtle.
Yeah, Turtle Wolves.
Turtle Wolves.
The
new hit, Sweeping the Nation.
They keep burping, and Professor Perry figures out that it must be because carbon dioxide is important to the reaction. But they're burping it, which means all the carbon dioxide is going away. So, which is a great scientific guess.
How the hell did he come up with that?
The real reason is everyone's just gassy because it's a Vanilla Ice concert.
Yeah, that happened to me too.
And it leaves a bad taste in your mouth.
That's true. And so the burping is basically stopping this from working. So they come up with an idea to grab fire extinguishers and spray them down their throats. And of course, when they do that, they manage to knock them down. And when they do that, it knocks Toka and Razar out.
Everyone goes crazy.
Yeah, everybody goes nuts. And then the rest of the Foot Clan and Tatsu come in. And so they keep fighting them while Vanilla Ice is repeating the same hook over and over.
Magically, he has a song about what is going on.
Well, I like to think he's freestyling at this point and just going with the flow.
Oh, he has to.
And he and all his people know the same dance and the same lyric.
Dance.
Yeah. Yeah, they're that talented. The
same dance.
We're talking about Vanilla Ice here.
Oh, yeah. Come on, man.
Yes.
He's amazing.
The fourth greatest white rapper.
did you say fourth?
Yeah.
Who are the other three?
Eminem.
Okay.
Right. Who's that other guy that was in that one?
Eminem.
I can't think of his name. And then the white rapper on the Lindorf's chocolate.
Oh, okay. So,
yeah, that's a good white rapper.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Very good one.
Yep.
The... Little Brittle. Anyway, the
Little Brittle. Yeah, the rapper, Little Brittle. Yo, Little Brittle. Yo, Little Brittle. So, that was the other one. I couldn't remember him. Sorry.
So
go ninja. Go
they basically
ninja,
all
go.
Fight these Foot Clan people while Vanilla Ice is singing in the background.
Go ninja. Go
then
ninja.
They all
go.
They all slam. They all turn their backs to Tatsu and slam him with their shells, which knocks him out, and the only thing I can think of, they didn't hit his head, they didn't do anything. I think Tatsu is dead. Like, I feel like they crushed his internal organs.
You don't see him after that, do you?
No. He does this like face and just kind of swoons and falls over. I think he's dead. He's gone. They crushed his insides with their shells. But
that's the only explanation. I felt a little cheated that he didn't fight more than that. Like, he's supposed to be this big badass martial artist. He's Shredder, second in command, and he gets felled by one shell crush.
One.
Come on.
Yeah, right?
One.
And, of course, to make matters worse.
That wouldn't happen if he was a temple guard. Wouldn't at all.
Once they're all out, the turtles begin dancing in the audience.
Yeah.
So they start coordinated dancing, and then they go on stage.
Go ninja, go ninja, go!
Yeah,
like at this point, it's just a time filler. They're stretching out the movie.
It's like 20
minutes.
They needed
10 minutes of footage.
We're like, we only wrote 5 minutes of plot. We need to stretch that a little bit.
We need to stretch this. An hour and a half.
I actually told him, I go, it's like the Thriller video. This has all just been one big gigantic movie that's actually a Vanilla Ice music video. It's just an hour and a half long.
Just a Vanilla Ice music video. Yes.
So like Adam's Family Values was an MC Hammer video.
Yes, too legit to quote, right?
Yeah. The Adam's Family song.
Oh, Adam's Family, yeah. The Adams
Family.
Do what
they want to do. Do what they want to say. Right. Whatever they want.
Yeah.
That.
Sorry.
So Shredder jumps up on stage and crashes the concert, and reveals he plans to make more mutants with the oddly filled canister of ooze still. And he says next time he'll use less mutagen so he can get them right. Kino slowly runs across the audience and manages to jump on stage and kick the ooze out of Shredder's hand. At which point, Professor Perry grabs the canister.
What's that?
That's his first instinct, just to kick the canister. Kick. I was like, okay, good job, Kino. Way to go.
Way to go.
Well, this canister.
And your last Kino number is stupid.
It's got glass on it. Like, I just want him to kick it and be like, ah!
he did his own like stunts. Right?
Yeah, he did.
Like they didn't use him correctly in this. No. They should have put more.
No, they did.
I thought he did something else too with it.
Yeah, he kicked and then spun. So yeah, if that's what you
no,
mean.
Like I thought he. I don't know if he like was a fight coordinator or if he
for the movie
or if he did something in the first movie. But I thought this guy did something else before too with them.
Yeah, no, I think he was Donatello. He was the person in the suit for Donatello in the first movie.
Oh,
and so they liked him. The producers liked him so much that they wrote the part of Kino for him to replace the ultra-violent Casey Jones.
No, that doesn't seem right. I think what he used to do before is deliver pizza for Roy's Pizza.
That's true.
Is that right?
Oh, that's right. You're right.
He was a Ninja Pizza delivery boy.
He wasn't even in the movie. He just walked on
the
set.
He just walked on the set. Yeah. Heard you guys order a pizza.
Cool. You're in the movie.
You're in the movie.
I'm just picturing him walking on set doing that.
So he's kicked the canister out of Shredder's hand at this point.
It's my favorite game.
And of course, Shredder's like, haha, I still have one vial of ooze. And so he threatens to mutate this girl who's on stage with all of them. And of course, they're trying to stop him and talk him out of it. And Donnie starts calculating something with some sound equipment, gives Mikey a keytar, and then goes, now, and has him, like, hit the keys, and it blows the speaker. It sends Shredder flying across the room and through a window out onto the
pier. With
onto
a keytar? Like, yes. A keytar? No.
Yeah, with a keytar.
But look, okay, so this came
just Shredder, though. Nobody else.
Nobody.
And he totally Back to the Future. Totally, yeah. Marty McFly.
Yes. I was going to say, but Marty, it reminded me of that.
But the speaker was so much smaller in this one. I was just impressed that between 1985 and 1991,
our
exploding amplifier technology became so advanced that we could do it with like half the size that we could.
Oh, before. I thought you meant that people were still playing the keytar in 1992.
I have to tell you, if I wanted to drop the money on it, I would totally go buy a keytar for no reason. Yeah, yeah. There's no excuse to be had. I would go out and get a keytar if I saw one.
I would buy a keytar just for the purpose of blowing people through windows with my speaker.
What did you say to me? Nothing, sir.
Just in case a bad guy drops by, you can blow them through the window.
Why are these speakers set up in front of your windows?
That and Mormons. When Mormons come by, you can just...
Sure, come in for a second.
Just stand right...
Sir, we'd like to talk to you about God. And then they fly through the window.
So, at this point, the turtles go out after Toka and Razar. Or go after Shredder.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're gone.
And they go past Toka and Razar, and they go, oh, look, they're so cute, they're babies again. Or they're whatever. And so there's like a little cute wolf pup.
Yeah.
But then the other one is like I don't know if it's an alligator snapping turtle or a loggerhead snapper turtle, but that thing is freaking huge.
It's bigger
than the wolf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is not cute. That thing will take your freaking hand off.
Yeah, no.
Like, that's why I was like, oh, that's not cute. So there's this restaurant in Illinois, like where I grew up, where they have, because we lived off the Mississippi or close to the Mississippi River. They have this restaurant where it has tanks in the wall with, like, indigenous species in it. And so you eat, and there's, like, fish and whatever around you. I always liked getting the tanks with the loggerhead snapping turtles in them because they were huge, and they were really cool to see. But those things actively try to kill you. You'd be eating, and they would keep bonking their head against the glass because they were trying to get you over and over. And I would always be like, oh,
well, maybe that snapping turtle was like, mother, mother,
mama,
mama.
I need a cab home.
They're trying to get home through a cab.
Can I? My Uber's here.
can I share this cab with you?
So, out when the guys get outside, Shredder is nowhere to be found. Turns out, he drank the ooze and became Super Shredder. We start seeing him busting up through the bottom of the pier.
It's Super Shredder.
And apparently the ooze makes your clothes mutate, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because
I noticed
now,
that. That's handy.
Now he's even bigger. And by the way, Super Shredder, played by Kevin Nash.
Yes.
To big, big wrestler. What was his name? Diesel? He went by, too?
Yeah, I think so. Diesel?
I think so.
He was also...
Diesel,
also
I can't remember.
He also played the Russian in the Thomas Jane Punisher movie.
Oh, okay.
So he always plays those big guys. Yeah. Big wrestler. And I didn't know that was him until I had happened to look it up. But so Super Shredder starts fighting all of them. And, of course, they're no match. And he starts taking apart the pier and basically bringing it down on top of all of them. And, of course, they're telling him not to. We're all going to die if you do that. And he just keeps freaking out. And then Leo realizes, oh, yeah, guys, we're turtles. Why don't we just jump in the water? And so they all dive in the water to get away from it. Of course, the pier collapses on top of Shredder. So they come out of the water and, of course, give the half-hearted, God, I love being a turtle. And just then Shredder's hand busts out like he's going to make it. They go, oh, my God, how could anyone have lived through that? And then he goes, ugh, and the hand goes back down. So... pretty sure he's dead too. he's dead.
I love that we got two hand moments in this movie. I mean, that's two for the price of one.
Yeah.
Where his hand bursts up out of the wreckage. That's such a great, powerful scene. Very underused in movies today.
Yeah, like I said at the beginning of the podcast, Gone with the Wind and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, they do.
Secret of the Ooze.
Yeah.
AFI's 100 greatest movies.
So, at this point, the day has been saved.
Yes.
We go back to their new fancy hideout, which I
love that hideout.
Yeah, I know. And it's got, like, stained glass in it, and, like, lights everywhere. It's perfect.
Awesome.
It's beautiful.
So, Splinter is watching TV, listening to the news.
Because you can get electricity down there.
Yeah. Well, it's probably on the city grid.
Oh, I know. That's what we said.
Yeah. So, April thanks the turtles, and of course Splinter is rolling his eyes because, you know, they need to be secretive, but she's blabbing about them. And of course, when the guys get home, Splinter asks them if they were seen. And I actually like this Mikey moment. They go, no, because we practice the art of the ninja art of invisibility, which Mikey says. And then he pops out from behind Leonardo,
yeah, like
so you
that.
Couldn't see him. Yeah. Splinter goes, oh, really? And shows him a paper that has their pictures on it. And he goes, practice harder. And, of course, then
freeze
frame. Like, oh, boy. Yeah, well, then he goes, he tells them to go do 100 flips and then says, go, ninja, go, ninja, go.
I made a joke.
And then he goes, I made another funny.
Yes.
And that's the end of the movie.
End of the movie. You've been deuced. You have been deuced. Now, this is a fun movie.
It is a fun movie.
It's not a good movie, but it's a fun movie.
It is.
Do you know what I mean?
It is.
Yeah.
And so you have to appreciate it for
what
it is.
It's kind of a nostalgia thing. Like, when I was a kid, I accepted a lot more of this than I do now. But
it's not as good as the first one, but it is
but
a fun movie.
But you know what? They're two different things.
They're two different
things. Honestly, the first one is, to me, the first one is representative of... like the comic book, and it had this like darker, it had the fun moments, but it also had that like those kind of introspective moments. And this one is much more to me like what the turtles became. They became this kind of like pop culture icon piece. Mm-hmm. Things were, and actually in this movie too, they were much more colorful. They were whatever.
Yeah, they were.
And so to me, it's almost representative of what they became, which was more like pop culture acceptable.
What do you say, Tony?
No, I totally agree. It was quite the change from the first one, but yeah, still enjoyable. Yeah, not a great movie by any means, but I enjoyed it and I had fun. And yeah, because I loved the Turtles, I loved the movie, obviously.
There you go. So that's what we thought of it, but let's hear what other people thought of it, okay? This person gave it a 7 out of 10, and that's Harriet Del Tubbo is her name.
Oh.
She says, I know, that's her name. Yeah, sure. She says, the Turtles are back, and this time they brought Ernie Reyes Jr. That's right, Ernie Reyes Jr. actually emits a fairly engaging charisma as a kung fu master slash pizza delivery guy named Kino. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 is much lighter, sillier, and the Jim Henson's creations are really well done, colorful, and pleasant to look at. The Turtles and Shredder battle once again, and this time the last container of ooze that created the Turtles. I like the scene where the Turtles try to trick Tokar and Razar with donuts. The plot is not as well thought out as the original, but it still does the Turtles well. It's Die Hard in a sewer. Die Hard in a sewer?
Is it?
Is it really
no,
Die Hard in a sewer?
Die Hard in a sewer.
Harriet Tubbo?
I don't know, Tubbo.
Come on, Tubbo. Maybe you should rewatch Die Hard.
Yeah.
I don't know what she means by that.
Yeah, I'm confused.
I kind of get what she means about everything else, but all that is like...
Yeah, I don't...
Well, if you were confused, let's read another review, shall we? This one is from Jesse Gehring, and Jesse Gehring gave it a 1 out of 10, okay? And says, better than getting rabies? Is that a question mark? Yes, a question mark. Is that an accomplishment? Question mark. That's the title, and he wrote, "Human life is all about suffering. People will talk all kinds of shit about hope and dreams, and meaning all that shit is great. Don't get me wrong, but what lasts with you is whether, uncertain or doubt, is suffering." Even at your happiest, highest point of your life, even that there is suffering. I was going to make a joke about suffering that was going to tie in to the review of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze, but now it seems pointless. Yes, seeing this movie causes suffering, like how I was talking earlier several sentences ago. But also, people suffered to make... this movie, which is awful garbage, and you know it's a bunch of he says, because this movie is awful garbage, and you know there was a bunch of cocaine and weird sex stuff on set, so that's even more of good stuff. Suffering, doubt, ruin. That is his review.
Wow.
I don't know what he means by there was a bunch of cocaine and weird stuff on set. I don't know what he read that we didn't read. Like, I was like, what?
What the hell?
I don't know anything about that review, but I read that and I said, I have to read this.
That, it might explain some things. Give me vanilla ice.
So I don't know how you feel about that, Tony. How do you feel about that review being a Turtles fan?
I feel like that was a bit harsh. I don't know.
I don't think a bit harsh is what I would say. I would say a lot harsh. Look, this movie does not deserve that kind of review. I don't know what that person was thinking.
Yeah, that was a
I don't
much.
Know if they were just being stupid. This came out in 2016, so they probably were being stupid.
Oh, that has to be, yeah. They were trying too hard because they didn't really even give anything about the movie at all. They're just like, it was garbage. It's and garbage. Cocaine and weird sex. Blah.
I read that review and I said, boom. When Tony hears this, he will crack his shit up.
That was, I loved the review for what it was, but I felt very unwarranted towards the movie.
No, this movie is, like, okay, this is not a great movie, but like I said, I enjoyed watching it. Like, that's a thing. Like, you can enjoy watching movies that aren't, you know, Oscar-caliber performances.
Yeah.
You can put this on, and you just sit there and enjoy what you're watching. This is fine. Yeah.
Exactly.
So I
enjoyed
it.
Not like, ooh, this is one of the greats. one of the greatest sequels ever made, guys. Like, you gotta, if you like Ninja Turtles 1, strap in, because Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret of the Ooze, here it comes. It's just like, it's fun, and as Jerry said, it's a nostalgic thing, and it's just enjoyable. It's right, just an enjoyable
and there
movie.
Must have been some cocaine and sex shit going on that set, so yeah, perfect, you know, right?
Obviously.
Yeah. Obviously.
And Vanilla Ice is there.
Well, all right, let's get into our... This transitions us.
How do you go from there, Jeremy? Go ahead.
Well, let's start our 5 questions.
Okay, we shall.
Okay, so
but don't take our word for it.
Okay. But I won't take your word for it. All right, so 5 questions.
But you should take my word for it. Okay.
All right. So, favorite
But you
part.
Don't have to take my word for it.
Okay, I think we have the 5 questions.
The 5 questions.
I can't talk. What are they? Give them to me. I'll do it.
All right. What was your favorite part of the movie?
My favorite part of the movie. I don't know. We'll go with Tony first. Go yeah. You first, since you really love the turtles.
Oh well, I kind of gave it away already. It was yeah. My favorite part was the joke about Raphael in the being caught by the Foot Clan, but I just felt like that was a great setup and a great joke. But also, again, was the part with Michelangelo doing the fake backflips. Like, I felt like when, because obviously he's always been my favorite. He's been my favorite turtle the whole time. And yeah. Like when they use him right, he is comedic gold yeah. And just great, you know? So I would have to say those two are my favorite parts, I would have to say.
I really think that they upped the game, like the Jim Henson really did up the game with the costumes of the turtles and even the two snapping turtle guy and even them. It's okay, yeah. But with the turtles and Splinter too, like they really did a good job with that. That's my favorite part.
Yeah.
I think this is a lot more colorful than the first one, and I like that aspect too. I think it lends itself. Go ahead.
Yeah, here's exactly what I wrote, because it ties in so closely to yours.
I know, I read
it. Did you?
No, I didn't.
I said, I like that they were getting a little more colorful with their creatures, villains, etc. And that this was a big part of my, all that was a big part of my childhood. So, but it was.
Yeah.
I like that.
And it misses that plot, that dark plot of the first one.
Yeah.
That kind of moves the story along better.
Yes.
But I like this.
Yeah, too, I do too. I like that they were starting to get into that it wasn't just the same villain. Maybe it was Shredder, but you had Toka and Razar mixed in there. And I think you'd come off for a lot of like comic book movies back in the day were like Superman that had Lex Luthor over and over and over. And so I liked that the Turtles were doing something a little different. And of course, I mean, the cartoon still always had Shredder, so it made sense that he was still in it. But I just liked that they were trying stuff a little bit different. Out of Toka and Razar, I definitely prefer Toka over Razar.
Yeah.
I could have done a lot more with him. I almost wish they just had him and focused in on making him super awesome instead of two of them. Second question here. Would you reboot, continue, or cancel?
Well, they kind of already rebooted this.
They did. They've had a couple things. So they had, I was showing you through some of those. They have the Ninja Turtles, like the Michael Bay Ninja Turtle ones. But they also had, there was one that was just called TMNT that was like the movie. It was a CGI movie that came out that I thought was really fun.
Okay.
But they've rebooted, like, the television show so many times, and...
Yeah, I mean, they rebooted it, yeah. We have, like, so many Pez dispensers of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, because we collect Pez dispensers. We have different types of the Turtles.
Three generations of Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
They just reboot this thing. I mean, this has to be the biggest independent comic book to, like, explode into, toys and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Yeah. It has to be.
I would think so.
Oh, it's easily got to be. Like, I mean, it's become such a huge phenomenon. off of just like I said, they created it as just a parody and as a fun little right. thing. And here we are, what are we at now? 30 years later.
Speak for yourself.
Over 30 years later.
Yeah.
And it's just huge. Well, yeah, the numerous comic books, the numerous cartoons, yeah. movies now. It's out of control. It's yeah. great, though. I love it. I'm absolutely loving it.
And I love, like, the different takes on them, too. And this gets a little off topic, but, like, in the... I watched some of the other animated shows just to, like, see what they were. And I like their... I mean, the mythology has really developed a lot over time that you can tell, like, stuff starts getting more and more canonical. They've evolved a lot there. They've made their own interpretations of things that have been pretty cool. Like, I love seeing where, like, people take this a lot of times. They take certain characters who really were just kind of throwaway and make them into something much, much bigger.
Yeah.
I enjoy the whole property.
I don't see a pop culture life without the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles
yeah.
ever existing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they'll always yeah. kind of be there.
Yeah.
Like, the Muppets fade in and out, exactly. but, like, you know, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are, like, always there, it seems yeah. like. Go ahead.
What's yeah. it? They've got such a strong following from, like, every generation of kid. And, right. like, so now they're every generation that grows up always has some version of Ninja Turtles with them. And right. yeah. that's great.
So that was, so what did you say, reboot, continue, or cancel?
Well, it's always going to be rebooted.
Yeah.
So I just say reboot, just because for the sake of it.
How about you, Tony B?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I say reboot, since we already have, and it's going to be, and it can never, I don't think it'll ever go away, and I would always choose reboot.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Me too. Do you think this movie stands on its own?
The Vanilla Ice performance alone? Yes.
Stands and runs away
on its own. I might think so. I don't think you need to know much about the first movie. I mean, the Shredder thing's kind of like yeah. how, you know, the whole odd thing is he died in the first one, supposedly. Yeah. So, but for the most part, I think this is just a separate story. I mean, it's yeah. not really, there's not much going on.
I almost would have rather this had, they left the first movie a standalone. And then started over with this movie, making it, like, the more cartoonish version.
Yeah.
And adding in a little backstory again. You know, not, like, tons, but...
But it stands on its own, I think. Do you think?
Mostly. Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Tony?
I kind of agree with Jeremy. Like, it kind of...
Yeah, kind of.
Almost stands alone. Like, it does, but, like, you really... Because they do right at the beginning kind of, I mean, shoehorn in a lot of that pizza stuff. And then, like, with Shredder coming back from the dead, that's about the only place where it really,
yeah, that's what
you know, it loses. It would lose you if you didn't see the first one. You'd yeah. be like, what? Who's this guy? Why is he here?
Yeah.
But after that.
Who are these people on the date eating pizza?
I know. What's this pizza about?
No, God, I agree with you. It kind of does, but kind of doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you got past the first, like, 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then
yeah.
the whole thing's down. So.
Yeah. All right. Does it make you want to see the first one?
Yes.
Me too.
Just yes.
Yeah.
You,
yes.
Tony?
Yes, totally.
There you go. Totally. Three yeses.
Three yeses. And then final one. In two words, sum up your experience with this movie.
You first, Jeremy.
I put turtle power.
Yeah,
turtle power. So I took that from all of you.
I actually put cowabunga light because it's not necessarily the first movie. I like the story of the first movie, the way that laid out. But this is kind of missing the plot, but it has more fun to it.
Yeah.
So I call it cowabunga light or Judith light. Whichever one you
Judith Light.
Yeah, Judith Light.
Light. I would say I would have to go with cheese pizza.
Why?
Because there was just so goddamn much pizza thrown in your face throughout the whole thing. And it was cheesy. It was a very cheesy movie. They really punched up the jokes and the lighthearted goofiness in this movie. But yeah, so I mean, it was to the point of pretty cheesy. Some were literally cringeworthy, but then actually there were a couple of nuggets of comic gold in there. So
there you go. There, I like that.
There were layers to it, but the top one was cheese.
Boom. 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 Mic drop. Ah. Well, thank you, Tony, for joining us on this episode of The Deuce.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure, and I was so excited to do this. I'm really happy that you guys asked me.
I was excited, too.
Yeah, me too. We were really looking forward to this.
And anytime you want to come back on, we will gladly have you. Just a couple of things that, if you want to, Tony. I'm not pressuring you.
I would definitely love to come back. I'm sorry I made this one like a 4-hour podcast. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. It's like a mini series.
Yeah.
It's like Roots. It's 20 hours long.
Yeah, you're going to have to chop this one up into 5 bits.
It's fine. We're having fun. That's the whole point of it. Where can you find our podcast, Jeremy?
You can find us at thedeucepodcast.podbean.com.
You liar.
You can.
What?
It's true. And you can find us at Stitcher, iTunes, and then Google Play Music. You can find us at any of those, or anywhere you want to stream it. Of course, our Facebook page, we post things on there all the time. So we post our new episodes, we post polls, we post discussion topics. We sometimes just shoot the breeze with folks in there. And then other podcasts also post stuff in there as well. So definitely make sure that you you join if you haven't, because it's a good way to see a lot of information and be involved with the community.
But don't take our word for it. All right. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So and then a couple things coming up. We got our live episode, right, Jeremy?
Yes. Our live episode is on the
23rd, August 23rd,
Wednesday,
August 23rd. We'll be doing it live, Facebook Live. We're going to be talking about Alice through the Looking Glass. It's going to be exciting. So you can type in, you can try to Skype in like Tony did, and we'll take some comments from you and go from there. Tony, we will see you on our live episode, hopefully. Are you there, Tony?
Definitely.
Okay.
Are you eating pizza? I actually turned to Jeremy and said, afterwards, we are going to order pizza because I'm so hungry for pizza.
That's what I wanted to tack on to your 5 questions was watching this movie. Does that make you want to eat pizza?
God, it really does.
It does.
And actually, it doesn't make me want to eat just like garden variety pizza either. Like, I want to go get like a slice of New York style pizza somewhere.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yes.
It'd probably be easier for you to find it than us. Pizza.
True.
Yeah.
True.
Being in Chicago,
he's got Chicago deep dish to worry about.
Deep dish, man. Deep dish.
I've literally got a pizza place on my corner right here. It's like half a block away from me, so it's wonderful.
If you do order pizza from that place, I do want you to go cowabunga and like do something weird or whatever.
They go, another one.
Another one. Is Roy working today?
Roy there? Can Kino deliver my pizza for me, please?
Oh, my God. And on that note, may I say, the sequel is king.